Our final case for today is United States v. Melvin, and we will hear from Mr. Patton. And again, Mr. Walters, but we'll let him sit down. So, Mr. Patton.
Well, I guess good afternoon, Your Honors. I'm Tom Patton. I'm here representing the appellant, Keith Melvin. And the government has agreed that the district court's order to the probation office to not give Mr. Melvin a copy of his pre-sentence report and her prohibition on defense counsel from giving Mr. Melvin a copy of the pre-sentence report violated Rule 32E2.
Do you happen to know if this is a practice of this district court judge or whether it just popped up in this case for some reason?
Yes, Your Honor, this is the standard practice of Judge Myerscough. It is an issue we have discussed with her, the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Federal Defender's Office, and is a practice she is persisting in. She has, since the time I wrote this brief, granted one motion to let one of the clients I'm representing personally, who was incarcerated, have a copy of her pre-sentence report, but she's also denied a motion of one of our assistant federal defenders to let a defendant on bond have a copy of that defendant's pre-sentence report, saying that the defendant could come to our office.
Have you discussed redaction with her?
We had a meeting with the U.S. Attorney, the first assistant U.S. Attorney, myself as the federal defender, the probation office, and she doesn't want them to have copies of the report.
No, that didn't answer my question. Redaction.
There were some discussions of that, Your Honor, but in this case, for example, in this case, the pre-sentence report in this case does not name the name of any cooperating witness. It refers to CS, CI. But Judge Myerscough has also expressed concern that the reports have obviously a lot of personal information about the defendant themselves and the defendant's family. And in fact, if you look at her exchange with Mr. Melvin at the actual sentencing, when he asked if he could have a copy, and she says no, that he can't because there's confidential information in there that would be harmful if it were to be made public, she then followed up with the phrase, harmful to you and to family.
So can I say, 3552D, it seems, would encompass, let's say, disclosure to counsel and then a discussion between counsel and the client that communicated the essence of the report, to assure that the report is disclosed. But Rule 32E2, it appears to me that the rulemakers thought about the concerns that Judge Myerscough is expressing and resolved them in favor of giving the report to the defendant.
Yes, and the committee notes to the rule explains that in detail, and we go through those in our brief that
What's the harm, though? Assume we all agree that Rule 32 is violated, don't you still have to show that the error was prejudicial?
Well, our position, as we argued in the brief, is that we would ask the court to find that it is just not a type of error that can be reviewed for harmlessness, because if you do that, number one, how is the defendant going to prove prejudice when he hasn't been allowed to have the copy of the pre-sentence report to be able to go through it, to have the time to say, hey, here's something that I object to?
But didn't he review the report with counsel in this case? So
yes.
He saw what was in it. So maybe some other defendant might not be in a position to argue why there was prejudice, but he knew it was in the report, so he could meet it.
Every defendant is going to have to say they've had a chance to review it with the defense counsel, or else the sentencing's not going forward, because at the Rule 32 requires the judge to ask the defendant if they've had a supposed to ask if they've received a copy of it, because if you'll notice, that's the question Judge Myers asked Mr. Melvin, if he'd received a copy, and he said no. But the defendant's always going to have, at a minimum, discussed the pre-sentence report with defense counsel, or else they're not going to let the sentencing go forward. They're going to have a continuance,
right,
let you go meet with them.
But, even if the rule were that there has to be at least a possibility of prejudice, which is a rule I'm making up as I sit here, but Mr. Melvin's is not that case, because he gets the 180-month sentence, which is a statutorily mandated minimum. He could have gone on forever about errors in the report, but he didn't get anything longer than what she was bound by law to give him. So it seems like he's a tough candidate to show to even show the possibility of some influence on the judge.
Look, he got the mandatory minimum, both
yeah,
the
that's what
sentence
I mean.
Of incarceration I mean, and a term of supervised release. And so we understand that.
Yeah.
The harmless error problem is going to be, it's what's in the government's brief. The government explicitly says, well, Mr. Melvin and no other defendant's going to be able to show prejudice from this.
But what could happen on resentencing for Mr. Melvin? He's going to get 180 months again, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So what's the point?
Well, he doesn't like the prison he's in.
I'm sure he doesn't like the prison he's in. I mean, the point is you want us to say very firmly to Judge Myerscough, Rule 32 means what it says. You have to give people these reports, even though there aren't going to be any consequences this time.
So his pre-sentence gets sent to the prison, right?
Yeah, in the Bureau of Prisons, they're not allowed to personally...
No, I understand that, but believe me, when I was a sentencing judge, people get a hold of it.
Yeah. And I will tell you in all candor, though, you have Mr. Melvin was housed at the Mason County Jail, which is in Havana, Illinois. And, you know, our marshals use 16 or 17 different county jails. But in the Mason County Jail, there are people from the Peoria Division and the Springfield Division. People from the Peoria Division are sitting there with the pre-sentence reports, going through them, scouring them for stuff. Mr. Melvin's sitting there thinking, I would like a copy of my pre-sentence report so I can look through it. And because, look, we have, obviously I'm biased, but I think we have very conscientious lawyers that work in our office. But there's a difference between having somebody sit there across the table from you, watching you read a lengthy document, and the pressure you feel of, yeah, okay, versus being able to take it, have it with you, and to be able to go through it.
So is he entitled to it now?
He is allowed...
I'm saying, like, in the correct understanding of the rule. So another option would be we'd say in the opinion, defendants should get these reports. There was no error here for the reasons Judge Wood has articulated. Would we say something about him getting the report? Because you're saying what he really seems to want is the ability
I would
to
say,
sit in prison and look at it.
So yes, you're right. Can I just amend that question? Sure. I take it he doesn't yet have it.
Well, nobody in the Bureau of Prisons has physical custody of their pre-sentence reports.
Okay.
Okay. The Bureau of Prisons keeps them secure, but as Judge Kaney mentioned, inmates seem to still find a way to get access to other people's PSRs. So nobody has it. Now, the marshals won't even let them take it with them. When the marshals come to move them out of the county jail to put them on the airlift to take them wherever they're going, they can't take them with them. But what they can do, like how Mr. Melvin said, can I send it to my mom? And I can't say all of them, but many of them will send it to family members so that when they get out,
they have it. So we could say that.
Yes, correct. And, you know, just to have the court state clearly that defendants have the right to personally have their pre-sentence report would be meaningful.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll let you save the rest. Mr. Walters.
Good morning or afternoon. May it please the court. I join my friend in asking this court to hold that Rule 32 means what it says, that the defendant shall be given a copy of the report.
And you, to your knowledge, he never has been given a copy of it.
To my knowledge, no, based on the record.
Or his mother or anyone else, yeah.
And you agree that he should have one now, or at least be able to say someone in my family should have it now?
I don't know about agreeing that someone in his family should have it now, given that the rule reads the defendant, defense counsel, and counsel for the government. It's silent on giving it to the family.
I'm just wondering if he can't have it in prison, if he really wants it. I'm just trying to figure out how to...
He has access to it in prison. His case manager has a copy of his pre-sentence report. It's just by Bureau regulation, defendants are not allowed to possess a physical copy because of the problems that happen with defendants having copies to be able to see who cooperates, who doesn't. And I would suggest part of the problem at times with, I don't mean this nefariously, but family members do get copies, and then those copies maybe make the way.
Can you remind me what that provision of Rule 32 says?
Yes, Your Honor. It says the probation officer must give the pre-sentence report to the defendant's attorney, and attorney for the government at least 35 days before sentencing, unless the defendant waives the minimum period.
You say anything more?
That
you
is,
can give it to him and take it back, because...
Well, there is a provision, and the advisory committee notes provide that in exceptional cases where retention of a report in a local detention facility might pose a danger to the person housed there, the district court may direct that the defendant not personally retain a copy of the report until the defendant has been transferred to the facility where he will serve his sentence.
But literally interpreting that rule, you can give it to him and then take it back.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you can keep it.
We're not advocating.
No, I understand what you're doing.
For it to be pro forma, that here you go and now we take it back. I mean, we agree with our friend that there needs to be some type of meaningful opportunity for him to review it. But I also believe that, you know, a court may be able under certain circumstances to make findings that it may not happen on this case, but for there to be a blanket policy.
That's the extraordinary, right. Instead of that being the default rule,
right.
Only in extraordinary circumstances.
But I think where I disagree with Mr. Patton, obviously, is we believe it is harmless error. In this case, it couldn't be clearer that it would be pointless to remand for Judge Myerscough to bring him back, conduct a plenary resentencing hearing, to provide him with a copy, only to turn around and impose the only sentence that she could have imposed in the first place, which is 180 months in prison, 10 months supervised release. And this does not come
years,
close to rising to a level of a structural error where presumption, or excuse me, where harm is presumed. So we agree the language is clear of the rule. We also agree, I think Judge Wood, you might have pointed out that the difference in language between 3552D and the rule,
right.
Disclosure versus giving, I think that's important. And I say this only because I'm aware that the Rules Committee has been meeting with representatives of the government, the defense, on a number of issues, including what to do about plea agreements, what to do about pre-sentence reports. And
and protecting cooperators has been a big topic.
Right. And I think the committee needs some flexibility to be able to fashion a Rule 32 without a restrictive construction of 3552, which would basically take away their ability to provide maybe some flexibility to that rule.
Okay.
Unless there are questions from the court, we would ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court.
All right, thank you. Mr. Patton.
Rule 32 used to require the pre-sentence reports be given back to the court. That used to be explicitly a part of the rule that was then amended and removed from that, the requirement that the defendant give the pre-sentence report back.
Local rules.
No, the Rule 32 itself used to have a provision that said the defense had to give back the pre-sentence report. That was deleted from the rule in the amendment process. And the committee notes explained that they did that so that the defendant, because they wanted the defendant to be able to continue to have a copy of the pre-sentence report. He's going to be on supervised release. It's 10 years, not 10. We'll take 10 months,
it's
10, but it's
10 years.
10 years.
I know.
And it's got the conditions. I'm not overstating it in the reply brief when I say that this is the Bible for him as far as the federal court system is concerned. And so there are real reasons why people want to have
even that. If the sentence in terms of months isn't changed, you're saying the PSR still has an impact.
Oh yeah, and the Bureau of Prisons uses all kinds of the information in there to do security classifications. So if you get something wrong on something that a lawyer looking at it's going to say, yeah, this doesn't, it's not going to change the guideline range. It's not going to change. You're not getting criminal history points for that. You're not getting this. He can hit the BOP, and that can impact seriously their security classification. It says, oh, this offense, a dismissed offense, had a, the allegations had a gun. The guy said, no, that wasn't it. If you don't change that when the Bureau of Prisons gets it.
And he doesn't have the ability even now to see it at the brief. I'm still kind of unclear.
He has the ability. He can ask his case manager to see it.
Okay.
But he cannot
contest it anymore.
No. Correct. And if you say to the BOP, look, this didn't really happen, their response is, it's in the PSR.
When is the time to amend it shut down? At sentencing?
Yeah. Right, but that's...
Before, yeah. So correct. He's got to get his word in a timely fashion.
Correct, because the response to the BOP, anytime you... And I've had clients call me facing this issue. And they're just like, but they keep telling me it's in the PSR, but it's wrong. That's not what happened. I mean, you can try and go get court records, and if the old court records could explicitly show that the PSR is wrong, you can try sending that to the Bureau of Prisons. But the standard response is, hey, I'm getting security points for this. It's making me go to a high instead of a medium. It's like, hey, it's in your PSR.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement, and the court will be in recess.